Okay, so good evening, everybody. Thank you. We have sort of full cal a schedule of Shirim available this evening, but I came across something. We actually did this in shul, some of these sources a couple of years ago, but I came across a little bit more for this for tonight, and figured it is pretty apropos for the for issue this year, and that is we're thinking about every year. I managed to stay up all night. There have been years preparing for Shavuos that I've been up all night tonight, the night before, and then up all night in shul. And we're all together, and we can feed off of that energy and be able to make it through the entire night. This year, I'm a little concerned. Maybe we'll be able to do it. But, if we make it to 2, 3, 4 in the morning, and I didn't check what time davening should be, but I know it's going to be later for the Ekmans than it would be for us. Do we say, look, I'm too tired, davening is not going to be so great, let me just go to sleep? Or is there really a point in staying up the entire night? So we'll go through the different, some different ideas behind it. Why are we staying up all night? And see how it applies to what about staying up till late into the night? Is the point of learning late into the night in terms of fulfilling this minhag? There's always obviously a point in learning Torah, but is there a point in terms of the minhag of staying up all night? Do we run into trouble if we don't make it through the entire night? So I came across a sefer recently, a sefer on Haggadot Rabbeinu, which I picked up on one of my trips to Borough Park on mezuzah business, where it discusses the hanhagos, the practices of Rabbi Yashiv throughout the holidays of the year. It actually, Abba, it's put together, I think, by Kirshner from Hillcrest, their youngest son, I think, put this sefer together. So he apparently spent a lot of time in the house of Rav Eliyashiv and the house of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, etc. And it's about the things Rav Eliyashiv did and a lot of things he also has that he asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky about it and printed that in the sefer as well. So here, what did Rav Eliyashiv do on Shavuos night? We think Rav Eliyashiv, who spent 22 hours a day learning, so spending the entire night of Shavuos learning shouldn't be a problem for him. But if you look there at Mem Tes on the top right of the page, it says Rabbeinu lo nahag lios er kol halayla b'leil Shavuos. Rav Eliyashiv, his practice was not to stay up the entire night of Shavuos, and he said he heard this from his grandson in the footnote here. And he come because he was afraid that Rav Eliyashiv was built on a very tight schedule. He was known for being on an extremely tight schedule to the minute. And if he stayed up all night, it would mess up his entire schedule. Now, keep in mind, Rav Eliyashiv commonly woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning. That was his standard wake-up time. Okay, so he did not wake stay up the entire night. Rather, he woke up. Well, we'll see you in a second. So in the footnote here, it says in the second paragraph, "V'yesh l'tzayin ma sheshamati mitamidu shel Rabbeinu Hagon Rabbi Ben Sion HaKohen Kuk." I heard from one of the students of Rav Eliyashiv, "She'achad mehanechadim shel Rabbeinu haya b'mishmeres etzlo b'yom shel Chag HaShavuos," that one of Rav Eliyashiv's grandsons was assigned to stay with him on that night. And was sorry, not that night, that day. Meaning he got the Shavuos assignment and was spending the day with Rav Eliyashiv. So Rabbeinu Ra Shehu Me'od Ayef. So over the course of the day, Rav Eliyashiv realized that his grandson was extremely tired. V'shala so asked him, "Ma kara she'ata kol kach ayef?" He said, "What happened that you're so tired?" V'ana lo hanecheh. And the grandson responded by saying, "Shelo yashin kol ayla." They didn't stay. He didn't sleep the entire night. So Amar lo Rabbeinu, Rav Eliyashiv said to him, "Ma yotze locha mizeh?" Well, what do you gain from staying up all night? "Osim mishmar rak." You might have done the mishmar. You might have stayed up all night, but rak mafsidim. But you lost out because balayla ayefim uveyom lo lomdim tov. He said because at night you are probably exhausted, and during the day you're not going to learn well either. So if the entire consideration in Rav Eliyashiv's thought process, it appears. His entire consideration is, well, how are you going to get the most learning done? And to him, if you're going to stay up all night, it's going to mess up his schedule. And therefore, it's rather take a few hours and go to sleep and stay up the entire night. That's if the cheshbon is all about just learning, right? Wait, please, if we can mute the people on the other ends, if you could please mute your microphones. So just I'd add in one more thing that Eliashib did record that earlier when he was younger, he did stay up all night. But he also reminded everybody that in the days leading up to Shavuos, they should make sure they're learning very well. Okay, now no mention though of this minhag of staying up all night. Where do we get that minhag from? So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch doesn't have very much to say about the practices of Shavuos, and the Ramah lists a couple of minhagim, but does not include with it this practice of staying up all night. That's the source right in the middle of the page. Shulchan Aruch, right again, the sources are in the, if you go to the chat, you could see I posted the source sheet there. And the Shulchan Aruch says, you're not allowed to fast after Shavuos. That's like his Hilchos Shavuos, no fasting, afterwards. Now, you don't say Tachlin until, from the beginning of the month until after Shavuos. And then the Ramah gets into a couple, and that then the, that's where the Mishnah Berurah then adds in. Some people don't do it for another 7 days following. Okay. That we have the minhag of having plants or flowers in for Shavuos in our shuls and in our houses. To remember the joy of receiving the Torah. And we have the minhag of eating milchiks on the first day of Shavuos. V'nirli hatam, and what's the reason for that? So the Ramah actually gives you a reason, which might not be what we normally think of, right? We think of it has something to do with the kashrus of the day, that they just got the Torah and they didn't have the right dishes. But the Ramah says, no, I'll tell you why. V'nirli hatam shu kamo ashnei tafshilin shalokhim v'leil Pesach. That plus we're going to have, either remember the two cooked items that we have on Pesach and connect Pesach and Shavuos, Zechel Pesach, Zechel Chagiga, Ken Ochlem Meichel Chalav, Ba'achar Kach Meichel Basar, V'tzrichim La'avi Imahim Beiz Lechem. He says, and not only that, but by having milchiks first and then having pleishiks, obviously you're going to have milchiks, you're going to have bread for the milchiks part of the meal, and you're going to have bread for the pleishiks part of the meal. And that will remind us of the Korban Shtei Halechem. The main korban of Shavuos was the two loaves that were offered. And therefore, in order to remember the Shtei HaLechem, we have milchiks on Shavuos, right? But it's not just milchiks, it's milchiks and fleishiks in the same meal in order to require two loaves of bread and therefore to remember that korban. But that's it. That's the end of what Shulchan Aruch talks about Shavuos. No mention of staying up the entire night. The first recording that I know of in our classic halachic svarim is the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham is the source that I have right under. In a regular page of a Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham appears along the side of the page. And he says, Magen Avraham Isa v'Zohar, that there is a comment made in the Zohar. We'll get to the Zohar shortly. Shechasidim harishonim hayu ne'urim kol halayla, ba'oskim b'torah. That the original, the early Hasidim, they would stay up the entire night, but oskim b'Torah, and they would involve themselves in Torah. Ukfar nagu rov halomdin lasoskein, and it's already been a minhag for people to do this. Now, recognize, just notice the years, right? The Shulchan Aruch wrote the Shulchan Aruch in the middle of the 1500s, right? The Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef, is, from what I understand, was the first sefer printed in the lifetime of its author, right? Got that? The first sefer printed, right? I think they say Rashi was the first sefer printed, but Rashi had already passed away, right? The Shulchan Aruch, or the Beis Yosef, which go together, was the first sefer printed in the lifetime of its author. The Shulchan Aruch does not mention this practice. Magen Avraham, living 100 years later, says, oh yeah, everybody's doing this, right? Everybody stays up all night. The Efshar Laseis Tam, and what's the reason? So perhaps this is the reason, right? Not an accepted reason. Not that I have, I just got a text from somebody that he's waiting to be joined in. I don't know, Joel, can you take control and join him in? Do you have a, you just use the,
They should be able. There's nobody there.
Okay. All right. I sent him a note to try to just go out and come back. Okay. So again, the Magavram does not have a right. He says, I'll suggest a reason. I'll peep shuto. Why? Because the Jewish people were sleeping the entire night. And Hashem wanted to wake them up in the morning for Kriyas HaTorah. And the Medrash records that B'nai Yisrael, you know, pressed the snooze button a few times and weren't quite as quick to get out as perhaps they should have been or could have been. So as a tikkun for that, we stay up all night learning. Now, I always assume the extension of that, and this Magen Avraham is mentioned in the Mishnah Berurah, and, you know, when you learn through, as a yeshiva guy, you learn through Hilchos Shavuos, or you look and see what's there, and this is what's there, Mishnah Berurah, the Magen Avraham, and I always assumed that, so what's the goal of staying up all night? To make sure you're awake in the morning, right? To make sure that you can daven vasikin, and have Kabbalah Satorah, meaning have leaning as soon as possible, and that's really the source for the minhag. So if you're going, if one goes to sleep in the middle of the night, if you stay up a little late and then go to sleep, so then you're not in fulfillment of the minhag, right? The whole purpose of the minhag is not really the staying up all night, but rather the being awake in the morning for vasikin and being able to be able to daven and be able to hear the leining as soon as possible. Right? And so it always like bugged me. It always bugged me, you know, the people we sometimes have shirim in shul at 11:30 at night, and everybody would come, and then people would go home. And you're like, okay, you know, it was nice having shir. It's always good to have an extra, some more Talmud Torah. You know, we got in an hour of learning here. But like that was, ends up being that Tikkun Leil Shavuos seen as a minhag seems to fall away. The Hasidim, I talked to Rabbi Brennan about this last night. I'm still getting a note from this person having trouble getting in. No one else. Okay.
That the person?
I don't know. All I have is a phone number. All right. Anyways. Okay. No, that wasn't the person. Anyways, welcome, Gail. Okay. So the but Chabad, it's even their minhag is even like totally against this, and it always like bothered me, right? The minhag of Chabad, and this is the way it's set up, is that they stay up the entire night learning until Alos HaShachar, which is 4 o'clock after 4 a.m., and then after that they all go to sleep. So I inquired about this early on in my career, like what's the point of staying up all night if you're just going to go to sleep and not daven vasikin? And they say, well, you know, how could you concentrate on Kabbalah Satorah after being up the entire night, right? So in order to make sure that we're hearing leaning well and be able to concentrate on our tefillah, therefore we go to sleep first. So it's like, well, then why do you stay up? Just go to sleep early and wake up early. You know, like I didn't get it. So a couple of years ago, I came across this source, which I think resolves this issue and probably is actually more of an authoritative start of the practice than the Magen Avraham's suggestion. So the story starts at the same place the Magen Avraham starts. The Magen Avraham starts from the Sefer Zohar, right? The Zohar are a collection of Kabbalistic teachings. I have it on the bottom here. The Zohar is based off of Parshios. So and the way to find it, it's not so easy to find things in the Zohar because it follows the pages. So the official, like there's an official Zohar that was printed, and those pages, like a Gemara, right? And that's the way to find it. The problem is, while a Gemara has stayed with the original paginations, right, and you could just find the same page no matter what edition or what printing it is, the Zohar has, like, come out with new printings and commentaries, but still follows the same page system. So it's always hard. It's a little difficult to find. The Zohar writes that that the end of the, this is at the end of the accounting of the Omri. It says, "V'lavu kedai l'mahavile chulka boraisa umandamati tahor lahayoma." Okay. So, umandamati tahor lahayoma. That one who arrived on this day that was pure, and the count wasn't lost from him. Meaning what? That he's continued on and has counted all 49 days. So b'chushpen alois haymine kad mati l'hay lele. He, when he reaches this night, l'boyle l'malme boraisa, he should stay up and learn connected to the Torah, ulad chavraba, connect to it, ulenatra dach yavala, and be able to keep the impurities away from him. Meaning he counted up all 49 days, he's on a very high level of Kedusha, and very high level in sanctity, and ready for Kabbalah Satar at that high level. And the concern is, if he goes to sleep, some impurities may come in, and he might sort of mess up the high level that he's at. And we have an idea that when you're at a high level of sanctity, you're at the most risk. So what's the best thing to do? Try to stay up as best as you can. The Matya Leba Hulele Vyadke. It comes upon that night, and that comes pure. So he stays up all night, continues to purify himself. Bo lifna, and he should learn. Do raisa de boile lamale behei laila, and he should learn the Torah that we need to learn that night. What is the Torah we need to learn that night? O raisa de balpe, the Torah shebalpe. We need to learn the oral tradition. Begin the yadchun kechada kemuvua de nachla amika. In order so that they will be purified together, the wellspring of the deep stream, as he writes here. And then afterwards, because why? Because later on that day, the day of Shavuos is the day of Torah Shebichsav, is the day of the written Torah, right? We learn about, that we read the Kabbalah Satorah, which we normally associate with the receiving of the Torah, like the Torah scroll, whatever it means that Moshe actually brought down that day, but the focus is on Torah Shebichsav, written law. In order to balance out the emphasis on the written law, the nighttime is spent learning the oral law. And he says, and the Zohar continues, via the bottom paragraph, V'yaldoch hasidi kidme lo havi naimi b'hai lele. Therefore, the early tzaddikim didn't go to sleep that night. V'havu lan b'raisa, and they learned Torah. Nisei la'achsana yerusa kedishalan, saying, let this be an inheritance for us, and ulvanan betrain almin, in the two worlds. And avahu leili knesses Yisrael atra alaiha, ba'asai le'advuga be'zamalka, b'tshavayma atrei al-roshayu. And this night, the Bnei Yisrael is crowned, and they join intimately with the king, and both of them are crowned above the heads of those that are worthy of this. So what is the idea from the Zohar? So there's the idea, first of all, this high level of Kedusha that one has reigned. Now, not necessarily a personal thing, but could be a B'nai Yisrael thing. I mean, B'nai Yisrael has reached this high level of sanctity. We don't want to mess it up. But then he immediately seems to switch to a slightly different reason, which is to maintain the balance of the day. The day of Shavuos is going to be devoted to Torah Shebichsav, and therefore the night of Shavuos should be devoted to the Torah Shebaal Peh. However, if we look carefully at the language of the Zohar also said, therefore the early tzaddikim did this, implying that what? This was some sort of unique minhag, unique practice that was observed by singular individuals, right? The idea that everybody got together and the shuls were all open, that doesn't seem implied from the Zohar. I mean, some people would maintain this practice, so to speak, as a tikkun in order to save Klal Yisrael. Continue on a little bit to the back of the page. You get to the writings of Rav Chaim Vital. Rav Chaim Vital was a Talmud of the Arizal. And he even adds in a little bit, and perhaps this might have become some motivation for people to stay up all night. He writes there, Shetzarecha adam shloshishin b'layla hazos klal. He says, by the way, this I was able to find many of these sources. There's a machzer that... remember the Goldmans, they left these in the shul a little while back, a machzorim for every of the Yom Tovim, and at least the introduction to Shavuos, more than other Yom Tovim, has a lot there. It's a very thick introduction. Amongst them are some of these sources. Also, I found some of these sources. There's an article on the Sfarim blog, which I have the link to on the first, which also has some of these ideas. But the Rav Chaim Vital writes, people wouldn't sleep this night at all. And they would stay up the entire night. As it mentions in the Zohar, and you should know, you should know, anybody who doesn't sleep this entire night, even a moment, and he's involved in Torah the entire night, you should know that you have a promise that you won't die in that, that you won't have damage that will come upon you on that year. That if you don't sleep, so everything will be okay for that year. So some sort of bracha that was offered. So that's a good bracha. So even though it might be singular for the Hasidim Harishonim, yeah, that's a good bracha to get. At least let's give a shot and be able to stay up the entire night. Okay, but according to that reason, I mean, the idea of being misakin, the idea of balancing Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh, perhaps we can lean on that idea and say, okay, let's do as much as you can. Meaning, during the day we're going to have laning, and at night we're going to learn Torah Shebaal Peh. Does one have to stay up the entire night in order to do so? So, l'chora, one doesn't. Meaning, that idea that's mentioned in the Zohar of making sure you have learning at night to balance out learning during the day, right? So that works even if you don't make it through the entire night, right? At least do something in order to fulfill that practice. Now, historically, where did this become a little bit more public? So I came across the following fascinating letter that is mentioned in the Shla. The Shla is Rav Yeshaya Horowitz. Joel Horowitz is Alter Zaidi. Has this recording in a letter. Now, it's unclear to me if he received the letter from Shlomo Alkibitz, their lifetimes did overlap, or it was just a letter that he found. But there is a letter that was written by Rav Shlomo Alkibitz. Who's Rav Shlomo Alkibitz, right? He is the author of, most famously for us, of Licha Dodi. Some have pointed out, Rav Shlomo Alkibitz lived in the 1500s, that Licha Dodi is the latest tefillah that is universally said in Klal Yisrael, right? It's the latest chronologically made prayer that everybody, Ashkenazim, Sfardim, or throughout the world, say. This is an interesting tidbit. Shlomo Alkibitz, of course, also wrote a very famous commentary on Megillas Esther, the Modus Alevi, amongst some other commentaries as well, and was a Talmud of Rav Yosef Karo, which becomes very important for the following story here. So Rav Shlomo Alkibitz records that he was up one night of Shavuot. Now, it's unclear when this was, and it's unclear where it was, although as we see through this letter, we'll get an indication as to where it was. But he says that we began learning that night. Now, I didn't include the whole letter. He's talking about learning with his Rebbe, Rav Yosef Karo. Again, Rav Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, he's the Rebbe. Rav Shlomo Alkibitz is the Talmud, and they're learning together the night of Shavuos. There might be, I think, one other person present. So the three of them, privately, as the Zohar says, the Hasidim would stay up. So Rav Shlomo Alkibitz stayed up with his Rebbe. But it wasn't like a big program. It doesn't sound like there were, you know, some cheesecakes offered or a big coffee bar on the side. Just a couple of them learning. And he said they started learning Mishnah. We learned two mesechtos. Zichnu bareinu v'nishma es kol hamedaber b'fi hachasid. And then we were zocha. We merited to hear the voice coming from the mouth of the chasid. What's this voice? What are we talking about? So Rav Yosef Karo, it is known, was visited by a magid. What is this magid? Some kind of angelic or some kind of heavenly voice. that Rav Yosef Karo had some relationship with a heavenly being that had discussions with him. Now, not only did they have discussions with him, Rav Yosef Karo wrote this down. Now, he wrote it down probably for himself, not really to be printed, but it became a sefer called the Magid Meisharim. And it is authenticated as coming from Rav Yosef Karo. So we often have this perception, Rav Yosef Karo wrote the Shulchan Aruch. He was halacha man, right? But yet, Rav Yosef Karo had this angel coming and talking to him on a regular basis. So he said, Shlomo Alkovetz records that he was present, and all of a sudden this voice started coming out of the mouth of Rav Yosef Karo. Kol gado b'chituch osios, right? A deep voice with the pronouncement of the letters. B'chol hashchinim hayishomim v'lo mevinim. And all those around heard it and didn't understand it. By animos rav, kol holich v'chazik, v'nafla panenu v'lo yaruach b'ish lisa enav u'panav liros mirov hamora. And we all were, got really scared. We all fell on our faces, and we were afraid to look up. And it spoke with us and began to say, Shimu yedidi ha-mahadrim in a-mahadrim. And this voice coming from Rav Yosef Karo's mouth said, listen, my friends, the greatest of the great, Yedido Avai, my beloved friends, Shalom lachem, ashrichem, ba'ashri la'adchem, ashrichem olam hazeh, ashrichem olam haba. And he continues on with these divrei bracha. He goes on, there's several lines here, and says how wonderful it is that you guys are all staying up learning tonight. And it's really great to have you here. And you should know your words of Torah are going straight up to Shemayim, and it's breaking through where the angels are and all the different levels of heaven. And it's going straight up and really being enjoyed. And he says, and then I have the part of the underline, where I have it underlined on the source sheet, this is Mishnah. He says, I want to share something with you. I mean, it's great that you're here and I want to share. But if there were 10 of you here, Yosef and Yosef would be even greater. I mean, if we had a minion, it would be great. It's great to see you. Meaning, if we had a minion here, if we had a kehila, that would be amazing. But we don't. I have you. But like that's okay. You know, I really enjoy the fact that you guys are having this discussion, and it's wonderful. So and then he leaves, right? And Rav Shlomo Alkovetz thinks this is like really neat, and he records the letter is longer, but I just put in another section here. He records that the next morning he went around and like couldn't contain himself. He told all of his friends, you know, the Malach said that we met the Malach, and the Malach said that if we could all learn together tonight, that would be wonderful. Now that indicates something to us, right? Because we normally associate Rav Shlomo Alkovetz and Rav Yosef Karo as living in Tzfat together. So why are they spending the entire Motzi Shabbos learning? So the answer probably is that this didn't happen in Tzfat. This probably happened in Turkey. Now, where was Rav Yosef Karo born? Rav Yosef Karo, where was he born? Anyone? No? I'll tell you. He was born in Spain. He was born in Toledo, right? He wasn't born in Cairo. He was born in Toledo, but he moved as a youngster, it sounds like. He moved to Turkey and lived in Turkey for a few years, and that happens to be where Shlomo Alkovetz was born. So probably they were meeting up together in Turkey. Now, did Yosef Karo ever go to Egypt? So it's unclear, but it sounds like he went to Egypt at some point from Turkey and then made his way to Eretz Yisrael, and their history proceeds. But it sounds like that so Rav Shlomo Alkovetz goes around and he tells everybody's about this. And he's on top, on the second line here, I found three friends that weren't there in that night, and I told them all the wondrous things that Hashem did for us. And they were like upset, right? Their hearts sank because they started to cry. Right, that they lost out. And they said, but he told him, hey, why don't you come tonight? And tonight we'll have a minion. And he continues on to record in the story that they got together, that he says, you know, we didn't sleep the entire night because we had the Magid learning with us. We didn't sleep the entire day because, after all, Rav Yosef Karo gave a shir after Mincha. And, you know, how far be it from us to miss Rav Yosef's shir. So we didn't sleep the entire day. And then that night, we all got together to learn again. And don't worry, we were all so excited because we knew the Magid was going to come. And the Magid did not even wait for Chatzos, he records here. So he didn't even wait till midnight. He came right away. As soon as there were 10 of us were learning there, we had a minyan. He came and he told us how wonderful it is that we're all there, and we learned together the entire night, and everything was wonderful. So I would suggest that perhaps the idea of having a large group learning together beyond what the Zohar says perhaps emanates from here. Right? Within 100 years, the Magen Avraham is recording that everybody had the minhag of staying up all night. And certainly in the yeshivas in Europe in the 17, well, not 17, but in the 1800s, it's recorded that everybody stayed up all night and learned the night of Shavuos. But perhaps the idea where it switched from being a private small custom and moved beyond that to becoming a large custom that was going to be observed by much of Klal Yisrael. And it's amazing. I mean, in our communities, our shuls are lit up. In Eretz Yisrael, the whole country is awake the night of Shavuos, learning Torah in various ways. So perhaps that emanates from that night, perhaps in Turkey, where Yosef Karo was studying with his students. Now, so that's the story that is recorded from Rav Shlomo Alkabetz in a letter that either he sent the Shla or that the Shla found. And perhaps is what, again, is responsible for enlarging the minhag of staying up the entire night. Now, I will just end with one ha'ara, just the halacha, one halachic thought on this, or his halachic history thought on this, and that is, who are we talking about here again? Right? We're talking about Rav Yosef Karo. Rav Yosef Karo, again, is the author of the Shulchan Aruch. And presumably, especially if this took place in Turkey, this happened before Rav Yosef Karo wrote the Shulchan Aruch. And yet, if you open up a Shulchan Aruch and look for Hilchos Shavuos, you're not going to find anything. But even if you look where the laws of Shavuos are found, which is the end of Hilchos Pesach, right, Rav Yosef Karo, you pointed out before, makes no mention of the idea of staying up all night. And if you want to say, well, you know, it was found in the Zohar and is said for specific people to do, yeah, but Rav Yosef Karo was there when the Magid said, wouldn't it be great if we had a large minion of people present to be able to maintain this minhag? So it's almost astounding to then go back and realize, hey, Rav Yosef Karo did not include this in Shulchan Aruch, right? So why not? So the truth is, if you look, Rav Yosef Karo knew the entire Torah and Nistar. In fact, the idea of Kabbalah is found, most of Magen Meisharim is based on Kabbalistic teachings. There is a scholarly biography on Rav Yosef Karo, which is entitled Rav Yosef Karo, Lawyer and Mystic, where those are the two aspects of his life. In fact, the attitude of the biography is that he was mostly a mystic. He like kind of wrote halacha in his spare time, right? That was like his side job. But really, he was a mystical person. But yet, the Shulchan Aruch itself, it's very interesting. For the most part, Rav Yosef Karo leaves out most things that come from Kabbalah. He does quote some sources from Kabbalah, and we could like almost make a whole sheer series on this. He does quote some sources, but I actually found when I went through this that most of the time when he quotes sources from Kabbalah, he's actually quoting it from other people that are quoting it from Kabbalah. I mean, he'll quote a Rishon that quotes the Zohar. Well, what do you mean? You didn't have access to the Zohar? So it seems that in Rav Yosef Karo's mind, Rav Yosef Karo, the world of halacha did not stretch to include the world of the Zohar, did not stretch to include Kabbalistic teachings. Now, there's different levels of when do we accept it, when do we not. And there are a few Kabbalistic ideas that Rav Yosef Karo has. So we'll only paskin according to Kabbalah, from what I could tell, when it doesn't conflict with Torah Sanigla, with the regular canon of Torah. Meaning if if every Torah Seniglu will be taken care of, and will and then there's an added practice al pi Kabbalah. Sometimes he'll quote it, but not every time. And even if he quotes it in the Beis Yosef, he doesn't necessarily quote it in the Shulchan Aruch. And perhaps this is the most prime example of that, that he was there. Not just did he learn the source and know the source, but he was actually present to be instructed on it by the Magid, by a heavenly being. And yet when it came to publishing his Sefer on Shulchan Aruch, his Sefer on Law, he neglected to include it. He didn't include it in our corpus of law. But at least according to this psak, even though Shlomo Alkabetz clearly stayed up the entire night, right? You also clearly see, though, that it's not necessary, that the minhag perhaps could be fulfilled by staying up somewhat, that Shlomo Alkabetz would be, I think the Magid would still find enjoyment from seeing us staying up and spending time, significant time, learning on the night of Shavuos. So this year, so we will not be able to be in fulfillment of the Magid's greatest wish, right? The Magid's greatest wish was not just that you should be learning, but that we should have a kehila of people learning. So we will not be learning together b'kehila, but perhaps the first part, the part about spending the night learning. And as we spoke earlier, the idea of staying up in order to balance out the day, to have a significant emphasis on Limud HaTorah during the day and a significant emphasis on Limud HaTorah at night, and Torah Shebichtav during the day and Torah Shebaal Peh at night. So that hopefully we'll be able to fulfill to some extent and be able to be inspired, be able to find Shavuos, both the Chatzi Lachem and Chatzi LaHashem, both the part that's supposed to be devoted to us as well as the part that's supposed to be devoted to Hashem, to be fulfillment and to be fulfilled, and we'll be able to gain from this Yom Tov and be able to then head into next week, and again, as we sent out today, hopefully join together real soon. Okay, so I wish everybody a Chag Sameach. Again, this is part of a larger program. You can go to the YU Torah website right now. There is a shiurim there by video and by speech that are being given live as we speak. And it was good to see everybody. And Chag Sameach. Good Yom Tov.